Oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas. All persons having business before the Honorable Supreme Court of Texas are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the state of Texas and this honorable court.
Thank you. Be seated. This morning, the court has three matters on its oral submission docket. In the order in which they will be presented, they are as follows. Hughes Wood Products Incorporated and Bailey Wagner versus Mack Wagner from Angelina County. Texas Department of Transportation versus Luke W. Abel and others from Harris County. And Horizon CMS Healthcare Corporation versus Lexa All, administrators of the estate of Martha Harry from Tarrant County. In each of these matters, the court has allotted 20 minutes for oral argument. The petitioner may reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal by advising the marshal of the court. The court will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each argument and will complete the arguments by noon. The clerk of our court is taping these arguments, and you may purchase a tape of the arguments for a nominal fee by making application with the clerk. We are pleased to have in the audience today several judges from Japan. We hope you enjoy your day. And the court is now ready to hear argument from petitioners in Hughes Wood Products versus Wagner.
May it please the court, Mr. Robert Kane will present argument for the petitioners. Petitioners have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. Like Texas, Louisiana allows, this workers' compensation system allows injured workers to recover without proof of fault in exchange for limitation on the amount of recovery. But there are basically three differences. In Louisiana, workers' compensation is mandatory. Texas, it's not. Second, to assure the availability of benefits in Louisiana, Louisiana makes the statutory employer, the person that hires the original employer of the worker, liable for benefits.
Mr. Kane, I understand you want us to look to Section 184 of the restatement to grant immunity in this case. How can we do that with no summary judgment proof on your part that Hughes is, in fact, the employer in this case? I realize that you're relying on the pleadings, but if isn't the purpose behind 184 to make sure that the injured worker has a recovery in that state?
Yes. And
if so, you have denied employer status in the underlying suit. So if we were to go your way in this case, could you then go to Louisiana and say, we're not the employer?
Under Louisiana law, if Hughes is determined not to be the employer, under Louisiana law, it would be considered the statutory employer. That is, it employed Bailey Wagner to do work for it.
Where's the summary judgment proof on that?
That would be allegations of the plaintiff's petition. Either the only possibilities that the plaintiff's petition admits are either Hughes directly employed Mack Wagner, or that he was employed by Bailey Wagner, who was doing work for him. That's in the petition.
But again, you've denied that fact, and so couldn't you then go before the commission in Louisiana and say we're not the employer, get a finding, and then the plaintiff in the underlying suit would be without any recovery at all?
We could deny, Your Honor, that he is the common Texas, the common law employer. I do not think we could deny that he is the statutory employer of Louisiana law.
Why not?
Those are the facts.
But what would prevent a party before the commission in Louisiana from saying we don't come within the statute and therefore we're not the employer?
On the facts of this case, this matter has not been raised before by the respondent at any level of the court. He's not contested that Louisiana law applies. He's out of case. So I frankly not break that. And in particular, I can provide the court with a list of summary judgment evidence that demonstrates that Ethan Hughes is the statutory employer, but that's not a matter of controversy until now.
I didn't really understand that. You say that Hughes is a statutory employer. Let's just assume that at some point it's established that Wagner was actually his employer, and Wagner didn't carry workers' comp coverage in Louisiana. What happens in that situation?
Well, since Bailey Wagner was employed by Hughes to do this work, under Louisiana law, I think it's Title 23, Sections 1032 and 1061, makes the statutory employer, the principal for whom work is done, liable for benefits, and simultaneously gives him the benefit of the exclusive remedy doctrine in Louisiana law, like Texas law has.
Where's the summary judgment proof of that relationship?
Line on the pleading journal. I can cite court to evidence about the relationship between the parties. I do not have that outlined here before me to speak. I'm sorry.
So are you saying there is summary judgment proof, or are you strictly relying on the plaintiff's pleadings?
I believe there's some evidence in the record, but again, we've not been called on to do this until now. The plaintiff did not argue that he's not been, that he, plaintiff did not argue contrary to what I'm saying.
So you'd agree then that for employer-employee status, you're relying strictly on the plaintiff's pleadings, even though you are factually denying the fact that you're an employer?
Well, we're factually denying direct employment. We're not denying statutory employee relationship, which is a concept Louisiana law has. I don't think Texas law recognizes it. Other states do have statutory employer, making the person who hires the contractor, in this case, Bailey Wagner, liable for workers' compensation benefits.
But if you're relying on the pleadings, we don't have any summary judgment proof of a contractor relationship in the case, do you?
He's alleged one of two things to be the case. Either one, that Hughes employed him directly. The other thing he alleges in his petition is that if that's not the case, then he was employed by Bailey Wagner to do work for him. Those are the only two possibilities that his case, his claim allows. The only basis for, he alleges, for imposing liability on Hughes is that one of those two relationships. There's no other possibility this petition admits. You know, it's either A or B. He's not alleging C, D, E, F. All we have to do, Your Honor, is meet the plaintiff's petition as pled. We don't have to exclude a number of different possibilities that he might have pled but did not. The only thing his petition admits is either that Hughes is either the common law employer or the statutory employer. Those are the only things I think you can read his petition to allow.
And you'd agree that if you went to Louisiana and tried to argue before the commission that their law does not apply, that would be an inconsistent position from the one you're taking today?
Yes, that would be inconsistent.
Mr. Payne, when 184 says the plaintiff could receive workman's compensation benefits, does that mean he could have it received them at any time or could receive them now?
I think 184 means he could lay claim for benefits and receive them on a timely basis. I do not know whether he can or cannot receive benefits if he makes a claim at this point. I assume he can. I assume that Louisiana law is like Texas law, time for filing a claim is deferred until such time as the employer makes a formal report of injury.
Now, Hughes Woods failed to file a report of the accident.
That's correct.
Could Wagner now receive benefits, or have those been waived?
I don't want to go too far in advising the court what Louisiana law does, but Texas law, he would still have those benefits if Louisiana law is like Texas's law, he would. I believe that he would. I don't think that Louisiana is going to allow a failure to file a notice prejudicing the worker. I believe that not pretend to be an expert on the intricacies of Louisiana.
If 184 does not apply, what's the result under the general provisions of the choice of law restatement?
I believe that, I think 184 articulates the general principles that apply to these facts. But I think if you look at Section 6, the general principles, you still get to the same result. The justified expectations of the parties, Hughes bought workers' comp insurance in Louisiana, not to be able to expect that the benefits of the policy would flow to it from an accident that took place in the state of Louisiana. The policies of the two states are similar. Both states, all states have workers' comp laws, and they're all sympathetic to the policies here. Again, all states, Texas and Louisiana included, allow injured workers to recover workers' comp benefits without proof of the employer's fault or the statutory employer's fault, in Louisiana's case, in exchange for limits on the amount of damages. The difference is Louisiana makes it mandatory, and that's the benefit to the statutory employer as well as the common law employer. Both states have an interest in maintaining a stable workers' compensation system that binds both the employer and the employee. And if you don't enforce Louisiana law, that would frustrate Louisiana's efforts to restrict the cost of accidents in its borders and frustrate its encouragement of employers to comply with Louisiana law and get workers' compensation insurance.
Mr. Kane, how does Section 145 tie into your analysis?
Section 145, that applies to the general principle of tort liability.
That's the basis that the Court of Appeals used for its decision.
Well, I think that it, the same factors apply. I think a lot of issues in this case, this goes back and it's remanded and retried, a lot of the issues probably would be governed by Texas law. That's what the Court of Appeals was looking at. It was trying to find like one state's law to cover the entire case. And under Section 145, a number of issues, perhaps most, would be governed by Texas law. Parties were both the Texas employment relationship centered in Texas. The damages, their cases indicated the damages, for example, should be applied by the foreign state when the foreign state's law when that state is the residence of both parties, plaintiff and defendant. But I think Section 184 looks to this particular issue and defines those policies.
Well, now, your summary judgment motion talked about the significant relationship test of Section 145.
Yes.
Correct?
I believe it did,
Did it deal with Section 184? And was there any effort, as Judge O'Neill has been talking about, to show the trial court the requirements of 184 were met?
I think 184 is mentioned in the motion for summary judgment.
But you basically were asking the court to apply the choice of law principles in the general section of 145 to this matter and determine that Louisiana law applied.
That's correct. But again, it's an issue-by-issue analysis even in Section 145. Those factors in 145 are further articulated in Section 184 to apply to this issue. And I think it's more fruitful to the focus of discussion in Section 184. That was discussed before the trial court, and certainly before the Court of Appeals.
And the Court of Appeals just didn't mention it in its opinion?
No, ma'am, it did not.
Well, it was presented in the Court of Appeals?
Yes, ma'am, in great detail.
Is there any summary judgment evidence about when Mr. Wagner was first told that Hughes Wood had workers' comp coverage in Louisiana?
I do not believe that's in the record, no.
Is there any summary judgment evidence that Mr. Wagner, once he did know, could have timely applied for workers' comp benefits?
I think the law speaks to that, there's no direct evidence of the facts.
So what did you offer the law and ask the trial court to take judicial notice?
Yes, we did.
And what specific law did you put in the record or ask the court to take the trial court to take judicial notice of that would bring you within 184B1.
I believe it's the same law that we cited in our brief, Your Honor.
But you're saying that you don't know whether now he could recover benefits.
This accident happened in 1992. I believe he could recover benefits even now.
But you don't put any summary judgment evidence in there?
There's no summary judgment evidence to that effect. Simply, we informed the court of the law. He had the right to recover benefits under Louisiana law.
But did he know of that right in time to timely comply with the Louisiana benefits law?
There's no evidence on that. Finally, one of the Section 6 factors I was discussing, the certainty, predictability, and uniformity of result. The employer purchases his Louisiana workers' compensation insurance. If the worker is injured there, then Louisiana exclusive remedy doctrine should apply. It should not depend on extraneous factors. In the Court of Appeals, one factor it looked to was where the equipment was purchased.
Is it your view that if we were to agree with you, that Mr. Wagner could go to Louisiana and conceivably lose and not collect workers' compensation benefits there? Is that a possibility?
I'd have to recognize that as a possibility. I simply do not know at this point. But I do not know of any reason why he could not, except for the lapse of time in his
Wouldn't you have had some obligation under 184 to show under either A or B that he has obtained an award for the injury or could obtain an award for the injury? In order for 185, the principles of 185 to be fulfilled? I'm sorry, 184.
184. I think you're correct there, but we would...
I
believe you're correct, but I think we would look to Louisiana law. It's out there rather than the facts of this case in particular. If he's injured in Louisiana and is covered by workers' compensation insurance, he has the ability to obtain benefits. I would refer the court also to its opinion in Larchmont Farms versus Para.
But wouldn't my point, though, is that in order to make a determination under 184 that Louisiana law should apply, mustn't the court determine whether or not he actually has obtained an award or could obtain an award there, is capable of it, not just merely possible, but the person will be able to obtain benefits?
I think it was, did he have the right to an award? He did have the right to an award. I don't think there's any question about that.
But if he didn't know that and you didn't timely advise him of it and the time ran, he as a practical matter, could not have obtained benefits due to your not telling him he could. And you just apparently didn't put any summary judgment evidence on that point. Is that the way the record is?
I do not believe there's any summary judgment evidence as to when we told him. I don't believe it makes any difference.
But you didn't put that.
There's no summary judgment evidence.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. Court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Vincent Maribel will present argument for the respondent.
May it please the court, Justice O'Neill, you initially asked some questions about could the petitioner go to Louisiana today and say we will not be reported? And the answer is yes. Because the alternative pleadings that Bailey Wagner and Hughes Woods were the employer would not be binding on them in Louisiana. And the only way that they would be binding on them in Louisiana based on the alternative pleadings would be a res judicata finding in a Texas court that one or the other was the employer. Because generally, with alternative pleadings, they can be admitted as an admission against a party, but when something is pled in the alternative, it's usually not submitted into evidence as a binding admission because that is not clear and unequivocal, like you see in Long versus Knox case.
But in, in their summary judgment motion, when they said affirmatively that it ought to be dismissed in Texas because they had a remedy in Louisiana, weren't they judicially admitting that they were statutory employers under Louisiana law?
That may be a judicial admission in a Texas court that they are, and I can't tell you what the effect and whether they could then go to the through the administrative procedure in Louisiana and say, yeah, we might have said that.
But a judgment, and assuming a judgment was rendered on that basis, wouldn't that be binding?
If a judgment was rendered on that basis and the court made a finding that one or the other was an employer, a statutory employer, then that should, under principles of res judicata, collateral estoppel, would be a different proceeding, should then prevent them from denying that they were the employer. But there has to be some type of a determination one way or the other, or they're not going to be prevented from making the argument.
Mr. Marinball, is it settled in Texas? Assume that Hughes Wood was the employer for Mr. Wagner, and that Hughes Wood was a comp carrier in Louisiana, but did not have compensation in Texas. It arranged for compensation in Louisiana. Would the summary judgment record that's here be sufficient to establish that they were a comp carrier in Louisiana for Hughes Wood?
The answer to that question, I believe, Justice Enick, is yes. The evidence is sufficient that they are that they do have workers' compensation insurance in Louisiana.
Okay. Is the summary judgment record sufficient to establish that Bailey Wagner was a subcontractor of Hughes Wood on a Hughes Wood project?
The answer to that question, I believe, is also yes, although I think there's some dispute between how even Bailey Wagner and Hughes Wood describe their relationship, but I would generally agree with what you said.
It would be a question of law, then, whether or not Hughes Wood, and from the posture of the case, both the plaintiff's pleadings and the summary judgment, the plaintiff argues only that it's an employee of either Hughes Wood or Bailey Wagner. That's
correct.
And so the only question about Louisiana law is whether or not Bailey Wagner, which did not carry its own compensation, was simply covered by the compensation provisions that Hughes Wood carried. That's the only question under Louisiana law.
I think you're accurate in terms of what you just said.
So in this state, let's go back to Hughes Wood's the employer. Hughes Wood carries compensation in Louisiana. Wagner sued Woods for an injury. Is it settled in Texas that if the employer has compensation out of Louisiana, that Wagner could not sue here under negligence theories, but would be limited to the exclusive remedy of workers' comp? Is that question settled in Texas?
Yes, with one caveat. For personal injury, for the employer, of course, in scope, yes. The answer is yes. For wrongful death, this court held in Total Oilfield Services versus Garcia, that even though the injured employee had received Oklahoma compensation benefits, it could still assert a gross negligence exemplary damage claim under Texas Constitution. And I'm not suggesting
that's
here. I'm trying to answer your question directly.
Okay. So the only question that's open for this court is whether or not that notion, the exclusive remedy, because Hughes Wood's a comp-covered company, Wagner was an employee under those circumstances. The only question is, if Mike Wagner, worked for Bailey Wagner, and Bailey Wagner did not carry specifically its own compensation, whether or not Texas would still say that Louisiana law, where the comp coverage came from, and determined what the comp coverage was, would provide the exclusive remedy. That's the only question here, because a subcontractor didn't carry that comp.
The answer to that is I believe no, because even if everything you say is true, that still doesn't resolve how you apply those facts to 184. And the reason is Justice Gonzalez and I believe Justice Hankinson raised the issue of, in the language of, could you obtain an award? And under the facts of this case and the summary judgment record, it's unclear at this point in time whether the client can still obtain the award in Louisiana. And that's part of the analysis under 184.
But that would affect even the exclusivity of Louisiana. If Hughes Wood was the employer and Mack Wagner worked for Hughes Wood, and Hughes Wood undisputably has compensation, undisputably didn't advise Wagner of his rights and that sort of thing, that argument would say that Texas would still permit a negligence claim to be here because, based on facts, he couldn't get an award.
I believe, understanding your hypothetical, I believe that it's correct. And I would have to answer that by saying that the hypothetical assumes that you're going to adopt 184 and it will be the standard, because if you apply the test of looking at the most significant relationship, you decide Texas law applies, then you throw out the exclusivity provisions and you just apply Texas law that says nobody had comp. They're naked, as the term's used in the, pejoratively, and they can be sued. So you kind of have to resolve that choice of law and decide whether you're going to wholesale use 184 to say if there's a potential remedy, they can't sue in Texas at all.
Well, what if it were found that under the 145 factors that the Court of Appeals was wrong, that the most significant relationship was with Louisiana? What Louisiana law would then control what issues in the case?
It would be the ones that Justice Enoch just mentioned. It would be the exclusivity. Because once you decide under 145 that Louisiana law applies, then you would apply exclusivity, assuming that there is enough evidence.
Well, no, but if you say that the summary judgment proof has not met 184,
correct.
You say that we don't know anything about the workers' comp exclusivity provisions. That hasn't been proven. Summary judgment was improper on that basis. And then you get into addressing the significant relationship test, and we determine that the CA did that wrong and that the most significant relationship in this case is with Louisiana. What issues would we apply that to? I mean, in other words, if just the general negligence principles of Louisiana law, since the workers' comp exclusivity provisions were not established as a matter of law?
I think that you would, procedurally, you would affirm the Court of Appeals, and then if the decision was not such that a decision could have been rendered, the trial court can reconsider it on a new record and decide exclusivity doesn't apply.
I'm saying if we were to disagree with the Court of Appeals that the most significant relationship was not with Texas in this case, it was with Louisiana, and that the defendant did not meet the 184 burden to show that the exclusive remedy provisions of Louisiana applied, would we then be left with applying just the common law Louisiana negligence principles?
I don't think so. I still think you'd have to work through the exclusivity provisions and find out what the effect is. Virtue of no evidence being.
Well, we wouldn't. I'm saying if we.
Probably.
Right, okay.
I don't think it kicks you into Louisiana general negligence if you decide that Louisiana has the most significant relationship. I still think there's an exclusivity issue that has to be worked through by the trial court on proper proof. And maybe they can present that.
I'm just trying to divorce that issue altogether.
Right.
If that issue were unresolved at our level,
I don't believe he's going to have a general remedy of negligence under Louisiana law. The court decides under 145 that Louisiana has the most significant relationship.
Okay, so if it were determined under the 145 factors that Louisiana has the most significant relationship, it would then go to the trial court to determine whether the exclusivity provisions apply.
True.
And if the exclusivity provisions do not apply, where are we?
Then you would, at that point, you would have a general negligence action in Louisiana.
Okay.
Because unless Louisiana had some of the procedural bar,
okay.
That then gets you into a complicated conflict of law issue as to when a state doesn't provide remedy, which I don't think applies in this situation. I hope I've
answered Thank you.
Your question. Justice Gonzalez, you asked a question about whether or not under the before, does there have to be some evidence that he could have obtained an award now, or it's still available, or available at one time? And the I've seen no cases which have discussed the question you've asked. The comments say that if no workers' compensation award has as yet been obtained, and that's in comment B to 184, which suggests that there is some evidence or there's some notion that the party is going to be able to recover or can recover or at least take advantage of the system before you can apply 184. 184, when you read the opening comment to it, says that it is intended to address conflicts of law, not constitutional law. The preceding section, 183, delves into, and the preceding sections delve into the constitutional law issue, because the courts have struggled for a long time whether you should let one state award something when there is a potential remedy in another state under the workers' compensation situation. And what 184, I think, really was intended to do was to represent a substantive policy decision by the restatement that this is how we should deal with it if somebody either can recover or has recovered or has the ability to recover. And I think implicit in that is that the injured worker at least has that remedy still available. Otherwise, the justification for saying that he can't bring his action in another state, especially where the relationship is centered.
Is it still available to Wagner? Is it still available to Wagner?
Yeah, the answer is I don't believe so. There's no evidence in this record one way or the other.
So your position is he can't get compensation benefits in Louisiana?
Not this late, because this lawsuit was filed in 96. I think it happened in 95. But I'm telling, that's my understanding. There's no evidence in this record as to whether that remedy is still available. And it's unlike the Parra case, where there was evidence that he could potentially still try to recover under New Jersey's system, even though he had not filed a notice of claim. But this record's silent.
But you're representing him, and your position is you can't get benefits in Louisiana.
That's what I've been told by the other lawyers who have the case in the trial court is they don't have that remedy. Now, for me to sit here and tell you that that is the case under Louisiana law, I can't represent to you, Justice Sackett, that that's the case. That's my understanding. And you know, I'll be so happy to, you know, we can try to brief the issue. If we can do it without factual information through judicial notice of the laws, we can certainly try to provide that. But that's what my understanding is.
Well, does your viewpoint have anything to do with the fact that Hughes did not notify Louisiana of the accident as required under their workers' comp law? Does that impact what's going on here?
The answer, Justice Baker, is yes, but I get through it through a roundabout way. Let me try to answer your question directly. I think it's one of the considerations that you look at when you apply Section 6 and Section 145, and I think the court can look at those and say this is a situation where he was never told he even had the remedy. And
not what they told your client, but their failure to file an accident report, the employer's failure to file.
And I think,
what does that do to this mix of facts?
I think I can answer part of Justice Hatch's question that way and answer you too. Let's assume that if they haven't filed anything, his cause of action is still good in Louisiana through the administrative tribunal. And if that's what the state of the law is, then we would be postured in a situation where he could still obtain a benefit in Louisiana. And I hope that answers your question, that if they hadn't filed something and that's the law, then he could still recover. And on this record, there's no evidence of that, and that issue was never briefed in the trial.
So you don't know the answer, and our record nor the briefing gives us that answer.
That's correct. Nothing in this record would answer that question.
But whether he can get benefits or not is a crucial issue on whether Louisiana law applies or not.
Under Section 184, that is the only part of the test under 184 could have obtained a benefit under the laws of Louisiana. And that's the only one that the petitioner is asserting applies in this case, because the other parts of the subsection, where the employment relationship was the principal place of the relationship and the domicile, that's all Texas. So it procedurally, you're left with a summary judgment which doesn't satisfy the that component of 184.
So in other words, it's your view that the movements for summary judgment had the burden here to show that he could get the benefits in order to take advantage of 184 and have Louisiana law apply. And the failure to show that as a matter of law means Texas law applies. Is that your view?
Under standard summary judgment practice, it would be. I will tell you this. The issue is a question of law for the court, and y'all said that, Duncan. Mm-hmm. You said it in other cases. Now, even in a summary judgment context, there has to be no sufficient information.
It seems under this record, we don't have the answer to the law question that we're supposed to apply from it.
The answer to that is yes, Justice Baker, and you don't have the factual predicate in order to answer. Sometimes a legal question is based on a factual predicate, and you don't have the factual predicate either in this case.
What's the lack of factual predicate in your view?
Whether or not the effect in terms of the failure to file and the effect on that under, Louisiana, the legal question is, does the effect of file affect the ability to still proceed with the claim? Now, there are other factual issues that I think go to that, and that is, has anything happened in between the length of time that this case has been up on appeal which can affect that? Because this case is a 96 case. I don't know if there are factual issues that are intertwined in there over this time frame.
Mr. Maribel, the Court of Appeals opinion only addresses Section 145. Explain to us what is the legal analysis look like vis-a-vis the interplay between 145 and 184? How do you apply the analysis looking at those two sections?
Let me answer your question directly by saying that they don't reference 184 directly. What they say is that they reference the appellate court decision in PARA as basically what they followed when they went to their analysis. PARA, when this case got to the Supreme Court, you said we agree with the choice of law analysis. El Paso, all El Paso did in this case in PARA was they said we look at Section 6, we look at Section 45. They do the typical Section 6 and Section 45 analysis, and then all they say is, and our decision is guided by 184. PARA never really actually tries to explain how 184 plays with Section 6.
How do you think it plays?
Every reported case that I have, and I've gone through the restatement, only one reported case I'm aware of says 184 applies on its own, on its face. All the other cases which try to go through this go through the Section 6, Section 45, most significant relationship, and then they supplement by looking at the policy directives that are in 184, but they don't, except the one case that I mentioned, they don't just wholesale say, this decides the issue. And every case I've seen has pretty much gone through the analysis, and that's why El Paso did it in PARA. And in fact, I think that the Court of Appeals did look at PARA, but 184 was not significant in what El Paso did in that case. But if you get outside of Texas, you look at how other jurisdictions do it, they still apply 6 and 145. They go through the substantial relationship, and then they'll comment and look at 184 and look at some of the policy questions. But they don't say, well, if it meets all this, we're going to decide that there is no remedy in the other state. It's more of a weighing type balancing.
That you 184 is not a trump card, though.
That's exactly right. And I'm out of time, and I'm sorry.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Okay, please, court. Just a couple of points. There's the question about whether Louisiana benefits are still available to Mr. Wagner if he should decide tomorrow to go down and file a claim. The discussion and the evidence in the record, the legal law in the record has not really discussed that issue. But we have cited the court to Texas law point, section 409.008 of the Labor Code provides that the claims filing deadline is told
that
doesn't tell us anything about whether he could have obtained benefits under Louisiana law and when he could have obtained benefits.
Well, I don't think there's any question that he could have obtained benefits. If he had, the day after his injury, gone and filed a claim, I don't think there's any question he'd be entitled to benefits.
Put on any evidence of what, that he actually could have knew about it and could have filed timely, or what the effect of Louisiana law is if he didn't know or you didn't tell him, or what the effect of Louisiana law is if you failed to file timely.
That's correct.
And how does Texas law, the tolling, apply to whether Louisiana would give him benefits or not?
Well, I believe that Louisiana law is going to be similar. I think the presumption is that other states' law is going to be the same as Texas's.
With all due respect, your client's asking us to apply Louisiana law, but you're quoting Texas law to say that's why Louisiana law would give a benefit. That doesn't make sense.
I agree. I believe that Louisiana law would be the same at that point, and I intend to divide the court with the party.
But when you use that argument, that means then that a trial court or this court then can look at the body of case law interpreting Texas law. But when it seems to me, if you're saying we want Louisiana to apply, we should be able to be shown how Louisiana law does it and whether it comes out the same way or not.
Well, I intend to show the court on the post-submission brief if that's all right. I agree it's not appropriate to mix and match on this particular issue. But I suspect that Louisiana law is going to be the same.
But failing to do that in the trial court is going to be defective to your cause. I mean, even if you convince us it was not established as a matter of law before the trial court that there could be a recovery under the Louisiana Constitution.
Well, we proved facts before the trial court. If those facts are sufficient in Louisiana law to establish his entitlement to benefits, I believe that is sufficient. It doesn't matter that we cite every particular piece of law that's applicable, I don't believe. We produce facts sufficient to show that he was entitled to benefits. I believe that's going to be sufficient to make Louisiana law apply.
Well, in choice of law questions, though, don't you have to present to the trial court those provisions of foreign law that are different? Otherwise, the trial court assumes it's the same as Texas law. I mean, don't you have... You can't, on appeal for the first time, argue the trial court was incorrect and, on appeal, try and demonstrate the differences in the law, can you?
I'm not arguing the trial court was correct. The trial court gave us a summary judgment. I misunderstood the court. But I believe that Louisiana law is going to be the same as Texas law at this point, that is, failure to file a notice of injury tolls the
You're referring to that.
Section 145, I think there are basically four elements to be evaluated with their respective importance to their issue, that issue. First of which is the place where the injury occurred, obviously Louisiana, place where the conduct causing the injury occurred. Generally, that's also Louisiana. The other two factors, domicile, place where the relationship is centered, those are Texas. Two factors, two go one way, two go the other way. And I would think that given the policies involved with workers' compensation insurance in both Texas and Louisiana, the availability of workers' compensation coverage in Louisiana points to the application of Louisiana law and its exclusiveness. No further questions. I'll move back to balance my time and play the court. First judgment of court of appeals.
Any other questions? Thank you. That concludes the argument in the first cause. The court will take a brief recess.